Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Kyle. And today we are continuing our Coach Talk series as we examine very popular phrases coaches often say and evaluating them if they are healthy, if they are productive, and if they actually generate the results oftentimes that we want to see from the statement. And a lot of times, Kyle, these different statements we've been exploring in this series is we've heard it so many times. It was shared to us when we were an athlete, and it feels appropriate to say, and we often just say it. And coaches have to really evaluate, is it actually making sense? Is it actually doing good? And I think one of the other reasons we have to evaluate these phrases is because the attention span of our athletes is so limited. And therefore, it makes everything we say important. Because, you know, the attention span's not there. So we don't want to waste time saying things that don't really matter or don't really make sense. And we want to be very intentional with the things that we are sharing. And these Coach Talk sayings, frankly, I don't encourage you to listen to this episode if you don't like change, if you don't like changing, because I believe after you hear this episode around this specific phrase, which I'm pretty certain you have said at some point in your life, that you may find yourself needing to change how you've approached it, change how you've said it. In fact, in some cases, it may cause you to not even say it or maybe to simply say it very differently. So if you don't like change, probably don't listen to this episode because you may end up changing how you approach certain conversations. But if you are one that is interested in growing, getting better, getting closer to winning, and continuing to improve as a communicator, you're going to appreciate what we unpack in today's episode. Kyle, today we are digging into the phrase, what has been said so many times, that everybody's a leader.
Said so many times.
Right. Now, disclaimer, we say that.
We do.
We'll say that. We will say things like, everyone's a leader. In fact, I believe everyone's a leader. But I believe when it is said without additional context or put into the appropriate phrase is problematic. It is paralyzing to some degree. Well, what are your first thoughts when you hear that term, everyone's a leader?
No, first one, you're right. We do say it a lot. We do teach it, but it has to be in the right context because it, just a blanket statement like that, again, if you go back to our first episode in this series, it can lead to a little bit of paralysis by analysis in a sense of like, well, what does that mean for me? But when I first hear that, I think it always starts with influence. And I think that's what the heart of what we're saying initially when we teach it is that if everyone's a leader, it goes back to like the influence that we have and how do we magnify that influence? Because that's the essence of leadership. But just saying that everyone is a leader. There's different layers to it. There's different times that people step up and lead, and there's different roles that they lead in too. So it's got to be something that is clearly articulated. Otherwise, if you just have that blanket statement, it can be overwhelming for people to really kind of unpack and see where they fit into that.
And here's the crux of why this statement creates inaction oftentimes in our athletes. Because when you say everyone's a leader, it is very heavy in responsibility, but very little in authority. And right. What most people are associating with leadership, because of the nature of training over the years and just how we've always presented leadership, and I actually think it's a trap. I actually think it's an unhealthy area of leadership development, is that we are more often than not teaching leaders how to be the leader above and not a leader within. We're teaching people how to be the leader above, how to actually operate and behave as a leader above everyone, right? As the one in charge, out in front, controlling the messaging, leading the huddle, all those different things. That is the general perspective that most think when we think leadership development, growing as the leader. But when you say everybody's a leader, you're trying to inspire them into action, but that statement is not saying that you're the leader. Because you're still not the leader. When you say everybody's a leader, it doesn't mean I get to make the decisions. It doesn't mean that I now have the authority. So when you tell a group of young people, hey, everybody's a leader, they get all of a sudden now kind of confused, because like they associate leadership as being out in front, making decisions, speaking up, leading things, guiding things, initiative, things of that nature. So they sit there and they're like, okay, everyone's a leader. Well, like, I don't want to come. Can we not have workouts on Friday? Well, no, you don't get to make that decision. Oh, okay, everyone's a leader. Okay, well, coach, can I actually sit down and do a one-on-one review of you? Well, no, you don't get to lead that, right? I mean, all of a sudden, like, okay, so what do I get to do now that you tell me I'm a leader? Like, what do I get to do? Like, what am I in charge of? Where's my authority? What am I now responsible to lead? And it's not really like that when you say everybody's a leader.
No.
Once again, because what you're saying is, no, yes, you may not be the leader above, but you are a leader within. And the reality is you have to teach a different set of skill sets. It's a different dynamic. It's a different relationship to the greater good of the team and the bigger picture when you're a leader within, not necessarily the leader above. So you've got to now position that in a different way than simply saying everyone's a leader, because it will jam your players up, because it leaves them wondering, well, what does that then mean for me?
Yeah, it's easy for them in that statement to get lost and not see where their role is, because there's no clarity that's been provided. And again, without specific instructions on how to really step into that role, there's nothing for them to do. So they're left wondering, what is there? And I love the difference there between being a leader above and the leader within. And getting kids to understand that, or getting your athletes to realize that, is really the catalyst for your team getting to the next level. And having them all understand that everyone's role is important. And whether it's their voice, their actions at certain times, when to step up, when to support, it's a really powerful thing. But just saying that statement of, you know, everybody's a leader, we're not really giving them the tools to be successful. So this is certainly worth unpacking and taking it through that approach of leading with it.
And I'd have to process this more. So I don't want to, like, you know, say I fully endorse this statement I'm going to make, but I do wonder if it's easier to be the leader above compared to being a leader within. Because at least you got the authority when you're the leader above. And you kind of know in a more clear, definitive way what my role is, right? It's to be out in front. It's to be the one that's driving. But to say like I'm a leader within, like, okay, but what do I do? Because I can't step on toes. I don't have full authority. What do I do? It can be very vague.
Yeah. I think that's the one that most people, it's like the de facto form that most people associate with leadership, is the leadership from above. you know, and kind of using the power of the authority as the means to lead. But really, that's probably not as effective as leading from within and leading within the group. So that's why it's so important to teach at an earlier age.
And I saw this firsthand. So I've got a player in mind. Okay, I'm not going to say the name of the player. But this individual, two-sport athlete, this was a couple years ago, two-sport athlete, fall played football, winter played basketball. In a football, based on his skill set, based on his position, he was absolutely the leader above. He was one of the top four guys, captain, had the voice, had the talent, right? So that kind of helped it, right?
Sure.
Played a prominent position, and he was fantastic. He was a fantastic leader. He really, I mean, he took control. He took charge. He set standards. He led discussions. He led huddles. He led, you know, initiatives within the team. He set standards and held accountability. He did all those things you'd want from the leader above. And he was fantastic. He goes into the basketball season, and we've recorded on this before, right? I've kind of shared a little bit about this in the past. He goes into basketball, and in basketball, without a doubt, is his second sport. All right, football is his first. He was actually going to go play college football. Football was his first. Basketball was his second. And he goes into basketball, and he enters into this team, and he's a role player. Let's just say it like it is. He wasn't a starter. He was a role player on the team. And there was this expectation from him, from the coaches, I'll say, of him, that he would come in and kind of lead at the level that he led in the football environment, now within the basketball environment. And it did not play out that way. He was not the same leader that you saw during the fall season as you did in the winter season. And there would be numerous attempts from the coaches of statements of saying, man, we need you to step up as a leader. We need you to step up. You're senior. Let's go. Like, and I know you have it in you because everyone saw what you did in the fall. And what this player was struggling with was simply that dynamic. He kept hearing all season, everyone's a leader. I know you're not a starter. I know you're not the captain, right? But you're a leader on this, and everyone's a leader, and we need you to lead. He couldn't figure out, frankly, how to manage being a leader within, because he wasn't the star. He wasn't the captain. He didn't have the authority and the voice power that he had in his other team. He just didn't have that respect. He didn't have that level of just kind of being put on a elevated position. You know, in the fall sport, everyone kind of knew. Everyone Right. knew that he was the leader. But now all of a sudden, when you go into a place where that's not your natural spot, you're not being positioned that way, you're not being presented that way, you're not in that environment the same way, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter how many times you say to that player, you're a leader, you're a leader, you're a leader on this team. He still walks away. He's like, well, what should I do? Do I get to go out to the coin, you know, for the pre-meeting, you know, at the court, center court with the officials?
Right.
Well, no, you don't get to do that. Am I the one now leading the conversations in the locker room about what changes and adjustments we need to make? Well, no, because you're not really playing as much. Do I get to pick what uniform we wear, what colors, what alternate, what we wear the day before or the game day outfit during school? Do I get to pick all that? Well, no, I think we're going to probably have these folks pick it. But you're still a leader. We need you to lead. I don't know what to do as a leader within. I don't know how to manage this and respect those that are kind of in a slightly elevated hierarchy than me. The ones that are playing more, the ones that have a more of a authority in this sport versus the other sport. Stop saying everyone's a leader. I get it. I just don't know what that looks like for me.
Right. Yeah. It's very vague in that sense. And again, that leads to a little bit of fear then, I think, from the individual of like not knowing what to do. And even if they feel a little bit compelled to step up at certain times, and maybe it's to be more vocal, or maybe it's to be someone that comes behind and supports other people, they're just not really sure. And again, when I think for most people, but especially for young adults, when they're not sure, it just leads to inaction. It just leads to this state of, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to do anything. And that's not healthy.
If my directions are not clear, you know, there's that quote you may have heard me say, like, the tiniest mist in the pew, or in the, sorry, the tiniest mist in the pulpit creates the greatest fog in the pew.
Yep.
Meaning, as the deliverer of the message, if there's even the slightest bit of confusion, uncertainty, right, a lack of clarity, that will get extrapolated in the individuals who are receiving it. And it will be foggy. It will just be like, I don't even know what to do. So if you are not crystal clear on the assignment, on the direction, and the action you need to see from someone when you say everyone is a leader, no matter where they are, because it is different. When you say everyone's a leader, yes, it is a true statement, but let's also be honest. If it's a basketball team, that's a very different responsibility if you're number two on the team versus number 12 on the roster.
Big difference.
Big difference. So if you just say everybody's a leader and you just generalize it in this category to try to create empowerment, right? What are you talking about? You're not even giving the right roles and responsibilities. You're not going to that place of communication. I think one of the best things we can do as coaches is clearly define the roles and responsibilities of our players. And it is very clear if you were to do that and you had a roster of 13 players, let's say, you'd be very clear on describing the role and responsibility of the number two player. And you're also going to be very clear in the roles and responsibility, right, of the 13th player. Hey, this is what your season's going to look like. This is how much playing time you're going to get. I just want you to know what to prepare for. And you're going to have those conversations so they know what they need to do in their role. But when you say everybody's a leader, you're just making this generalized blanket statement to all members of your team. And then waiting and wanting them to figure out exactly what their role and responsibility is in that context through their lens. Most young people will not be able to decipher that on their own.
No, not at all.
So they will have some confusion, a lack of clarity. Well, I'm the 12th person on the team. I get everyone's a leader, but what does that mean for me? So that lack of clarity from you, coach, to them will create major confusion, even more fogginess in their mind of uncertainty. And if I'm not clear, or if I don't clearly know what to do, therefore, to your point, I will lack confidence on what to do. And if I'm then therefore not confident, I just won't do it.
Right.
So you saying everybody is a leader, making that statement in and of itself, you're not getting much from it.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. Knowing and leading yourself is the first step in every leader's journey. When developing future leaders within my team, we start with knowing yourself and then transition to leading yourself. Once you know and lead yourself, you can move into knowing and leading others. Too often, people will try to bypass these critical steps before leading other people. Start with having a clear understanding of who you are and how you operate. This will ensure a strong foundation for future leadership growth. No one wants to be led by someone that doesn't first know and understand themselves. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
When you think about, like, you know, we often talk about where our players are at on leadership spectrums and where they need to show up, especially with relationships and intensity and things like that. For us as coaches, it's almost like you look at our clarity in our instructions, our clarity in what we're teaching. The more clarity we have and the more clear we are with intentionality, the less frustration we experience. But the more we put out vague statements, the more that we rely on these coach talk phrases that we're talking about, the greater our frustration is, the greater our pain is. So we need to move away from the generalities and move more into the specifics. And just taking that time, even though time is a little bit of a burden, you know, all the roles that you have, that is going to make your life easier in the long run, and it's going to help you win more games.
So if everybody's a leader it needs to then also be followed up, if that statement is shared, everyone is a leader, but let me share with you what leadership will look like in your role on this team.
Right.
That's a more accurate statement. Everyone's a leader. Factual, correct? Check the box. And this is what leadership will look like in your role at this stage of your career within this group. And then continue on. And now have the conversation. And it may need to be a one-on-one conversation or maybe a grouped conversation of small groups of sorts. And it reminds, you know, I think about the teams, some of the teams that are really deep locally where I'm at and lead them up, where they will do like combinations of full team.
Mm-hmm.
And we do combinations of small group. Well, yes, there's a message out to the whole team that everyone's a leader. But when you get into the deeper small group, now all of a sudden we get to actually share more specifics. And this is what it specifically needs to look like for you. This is what it needs to look like for you. Now, for the rest of the team, how do you tell the overarching message? I mean, frankly, that's taught through followership. And that is why we have the followership teaching and why we build as such a foundational part of what we teach. Because followership allows you to think and act like a leader in moments others are leading you. It allows you to think and act like a leader in moments others are leading you. It's not about you being in charge always, the leader. It's telling you, even in the midst of others leading you, you still have an ability to impact that moment, to influence that situation, right? In your followership, by being someone who's enjoyable to lead, right? By showing up and receiving leadership well and thanking the passer and all these different moments, as we talk rotational leadership, as leadership moments change, right? To have moments where, I'm not the leader here, but I'm a leader. And even as others are leading me, I still have an ability to lead back in how I respond and how I receive it. Followership is actually the tool. It is the teaching guide and all the different components that we teach within it of how to actually teach players how to be a leader within a team, even if they are not the one in charge.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Now I start getting an understanding. I'm like, okay, I'm not the leader in today's meeting, but I know I can go into today's meeting still thinking like a leader, still showing up like a leader, still feeling and operating. And what does that look like? I'm going to be enjoyable to lead. I'm going to appreciate the passer. I'm going to give energy back to the leader, right? I'm going to ask questions to grow. I'm going to do these different things that we lay out to help impact and show up with a leadership mindset, even though I'm not the leader.
Yeah. And then it becomes habit. Right. Exactly. That you start showing up that way. Then now you're approaching it through a mindset of confidence of like, this is who I am. This is what I do. And that will start to carry over into all those other lanes. So it can really, really go a long way for that individual, but then for the rest of the team.
And for us as coaches, I think when we teach that everyone's a leader and you begin to teach followership, it's getting players also to recognize that when you are a high performer in your followership, you are leading. It's getting them to understand they are impacting.
You have to lead the leader. Leaders need to be led.
Leaders need to be led, but it's helping you get more out of other people by how you receive it. Mm-hmm. I always want to like be enjoyable to lead wherever I go. And especially as someone who teaches this for a living. And I'll never forget, right? Like we recently went to Costa Rica this past January. And one of the days while we were there, we were doing surf lessons. I never surfed before. And we link up with our surf instructor and we just kind of find the vendor on the beach. And we're going through this process. If you've never done surf lessons before, there's a portion of time when you're on the sand and they're doing some instructional, foundational, fundamental work with you before they take the board out into the water. And I'm sitting there, we're vibing. We're vibing with the surf instructor. And I'm trying to be enjoyable to lead. So what does that look like? I'm just being very appreciative of this individual's time. And, as we go through, second thing, I want to give great energy to that individual. Just, great vibes. His name was Ernesto. And as we're going through, I'm asking questions because the third thing about being enjoyable to lead is you show a hunger to grow. you're actually eager to grow and get better. So I'm asking him all these questions. I'm like, man, you're the man, dude. How do you know all this? How long have you been doing this? Hey, so what do I do in this situation? And what do I do in this situation? Just great energy, just trying to be an enjoyable to lead follower. And then the fourth thing we say is you demonstrate growth. So, you know, we go for 30, 45 minutes in the sand, learning some of the fundamentals. And I learned some really cool stuff. He shared it. Here's a free surf lesson. You don't surf, do you, Kyle?
Boogie boards. We don't get too big of waves to actually surf down here.
Okay.
Body surf is what I do.
Yeah. Body surf and boogie board. All right. Well, here's a surfing, two surfing tips free of charge for you, Kyle. Okay.
Sweet.
You always have your strong dominant leg as the front because your front leg is the steerer of the board. Makes sense, right? So if you're a right-handed, you know, your right needs to go in the front. Well, one of the things I remember asking Ernesto, I said, well, how do you know where to stand on the board? Because I always felt like that was a big deal because if you stand too close to the front, it dips.
Yeah. Right?
The nose goes down, you flip over, it dips. But if you stand too far in the back, it doesn't gain the speed as it goes through the wave because it's too elevated in the front. You're not gaining the speed. So how do you know where you need to land? I'm like, Ernesto, help me out. I know you got some special secret for it. He goes, I do, Adam, I do. Here's what you do. He goes, I don't know how it works, but it always works. You cup your toes on the back of the board when you're laying down paddling with your arms. And you cup your toes on the back of the board. And then when it is time to actually jump up, it just somehow has positioned you to be in the perfect spot based on your body kind of composition and the length of your legs. It just somehow has figured it out. So you cup your toes on the back, you jump up on the board, and now you're landed in a great spot.
Hmm.
How about that? It's perfect, right? I'm like, dude, you are the man. Let's go, right? And we're having fun. We go out in the water. And remember the fourth thing, demonstrate growth. First couple times, not so good, right? Fall in. We're picking it up. George and I, we're picking it up. She got it quicker than I did. She's crushing it. And we're having fun and we're celebrating and I'm getting it and I'm getting better and better and we're having fun and we keep doing it. And man, I remember looking down at my Apple Watch, sit there, water mode, right? So I'm not messing up my Apple Watch. I look down at the watch. I go, Ernesto, man, our time is up. Man, I appreciate all that you've done. He said, oh, brother, if you've got more time, I've got more time. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. I'm like, oh, man. At that point, I'd spent a lot of money on this trip, Kyle. I didn't really want to spend more. I thought, like, keep it going. Like, let's pay for another round or pay for an extra hour or so. So I was kind of like, oh, Ernesto, you know, man, I've capped my budget for today. I think we're good. No, brother, it's on me. It's on me. Let's just keep it going. I'm like, well, if that's the case, let's do it.
Right.
I remember George asking, like, why was Ernesto willing to kind of give us more? I said, George, because it's almost like when you're enjoyable to lead, you get two for one out of the other person.
It's like you get twice
as much. You see, I said, Georgia, why he wants to give us more is because we were filling him with joy. As we were being enjoyable to lead, we were filling his bucket, and in turn, he was giving us more. But I share that because it's a great example of how you can teach your players how to be a leader within. Because in this setting, I was not the leader.
No.
I'm the amateur. He's the expert. We hired him. I was following his lead. I was not the one controlling anything of our two-hour time together. He was. I'm just a role player. I'm just playing a part. But I remember through our teaching, I can be enjoyable to lead, and it will help get more out of other people. Essentially, I led him up as he was leading me. I was simply a leader within. Although he was the leader above, I still had a role. You have to teach your players that if you want them to understand the statement, everybody's a leader, and to have them actually contextualize, what does this mean for me?
Right.
You've got to share and teach that and give them examples of what this will look like for them and what they need to do in their role as a leader in this program. You can't just assume it, and saying everyone's a leader will not get the job done. It requires more.
And the great example there that you shared, but I think that's the great thing for coaches is to that helps your connection with your players. It helps what you're teaching them hit a little bit more, is to add in personal examples. And that's a, you know, a challenge for us all, is to continue to grow as coaches, is to really dig into what we do and apply these same things to our life. And when we do that, we will want to teach it at a greater level when we experience it. So it's a great example to share. And coaches, that's a great challenge for us, is to continue to be the people that live it out. And by doing so, you're going to have some great stories to share with your players that gives them specifics on what they can do. And in turn, your program will grow as a result.
Well said, coaches. Remember, I said earlier, if you don't like to change, you probably don't want to listen to this episode, because if you've said that, you may now rethink how you say it, and or you may even refrain from saying it in the way you've always said it. So we're continuing this Coach Talk series as we examine various Coach Talk phrases, very popular phrases we share. Certainly tune into the whole series. You don't want to miss a single one, because they're all so, so good. And we would love for you to share with your coaching staff, share with others, and even use this as a conversation tool with your coaches, right? Bring up the points that we shared in today's episode about the things that even your assistants or even your head coach, depending on where you are in that mix, you know, may often say, and how we can just keep getting better as coaches and communicators, leading the individuals that we lead. I'm Adam, he is Kyle, and on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, until next time, we are out.